friends and family, it's time for Mio Ayo. You got this. A safe place for self-discovery. Here is your host, owner of Mio Ayo Counseling Services, Christy Shaw.
Good morning. My name is Christy Shaw, and I'm from Paipop First Nation. My mother's from the Métis community in Librette, and I am an Indigenous social work graduate from the First Nations University, and I'm now a mental health therapist through NIHB. And my goal, I guess, in this profession and in this journey is to empower people to understand themselves, share with them some of the tools and some of the things that I've learned along my healing journey, and especially the tools that have been helpful through my education journey in Indigenous social work. And then I guess the other side is the some of the spiritual aspects. That's probably why I don't call myself a mental health therapist, because it's not just about what's going on in the mind. It's about what's going on in the heart, in our bodies, in our environments, and in our communities and things like that. So it's a bigger kind of, I guess, view of what I hope wellness to be and how I can share that with the people that I'm around. So I try to make things kind of easily to understand. I don't want to overcomplicate things. I don't think that that's very empowering to people. I want people to have the tools to really understand themselves. And, you know, another reason for that is sometimes when we don't understand ourselves and we don't maybe understand where we come from or why we are the way that we are, we're kind of susceptible to people that might tell us who we are. And then that kind of delays our journey another maybe 10, 15, 20 years into really finding a sense of peace and wholeness within ourselves and that empowering feeling that I think we all want to have. So I've worked with different knowledge keepers and teachers, and I really appreciated, you know, them really understanding those aspects of themselves. However, with my education, I guess, within the westernized education, there's other tools and theories and things that are actually helpful. I wouldn't say that that's just the whole thing that I'm about, but there are some pieces that I like to pull in, because in terms of understanding myself and my family, a lot of those theories were very, very helpful to understand. And so it helped me to come to a place of peace and forgiveness in my upbringing, in my family, understanding why we were the way that we were without any more shame or judgment attached to that.
Yeah.
So I found education to be very helpful for me in that, removing that stigma, I guess, that I was carrying for so long, and that of my family as well. Hi, everyone. My name is Christy Shaw, and welcome back to Mio Ayo. Today, I am joined by my good friend, Will.
Hello. Hello, Christy. Welcome back to Okanis Podcast Studios once again.
Yes.
For another edition of your podcast. It's so nice when you come out here.
Thank you.
So nice.
So much.
So
and
nice.
It's such a beautiful space to come out to. And even though it's a bit cold, it's nice and bright in here.
I know. I saw some social media posts that put a hit out on that groundhog this weekend.
Yeah, no kidding.
Groundhog Day just kind of went quietly by this year.
It did. I don't think anybody wanted to really... No. Acknowledge it.
Exactly, for sure. So in case you're missing it, we record these shows about a month in advance. So when we're talking about it, we try not to be too topical, but winter is winter. It seems like it's going to go on forever.
Absolutely. Well, and actually, I did want to talk a little bit about International Women's Day,
yes.
Which is kind of, I guess, brought about this whole idea of what we're going to be talking about today. And
okay.
It's going to be focused on women's health. I know in previous podcasts, I've always talked about maybe reasons to not go to the doctor. And I guess in this podcast, I'm going to talk about reasons why we should go to the doctor, when we should go to the doctor, maybe what kind of questions women can be asking their medical practitioners, things that we need to be aware of. What I've been really noticing is in the healthcare field, a lot of people, as I've been talking about on these different podcasts, are connecting our emotional health and well-being to our general health. I guess the idea or the recognition, though, that is very prevalent is that mainstream health is not quite there in terms of connecting emotional regulation, nervous system, all the things that we are connecting, you know, in this podcast, and of course, others, lots of others in the field, I guess, who are more at the cutting edge of research. But of course, you know, the medical that we receive with the way that the medical is delivered, I guess, in Canada, right, is kind of, it has to go through so many trials and different steps,
clinically,
right? Clinically,
right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
In America, right, with people that have to pay, I guess, you know, they get a little bit better options, right? Because they're paying for their services. So here in Canada, you know, we're definitely at a disadvantage compared to the U.S., I would say, in that regard. Mm-hmm.
And it's also, as we always say, we respect everybody on their own personal healing journey. Mm-hmm. And that goes along with knowledge as well.
Yeah.
Right, because more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are, and then the more empowered you are when you go to the doctor. And a lot of times, you know, like even in my experience, the doctor would almost lead you.
Yes,
they ask a question. Oh, it must be this, right?
Very
and really
true.
Didn't ask you, like, but what? How did you feel? Like, what do you think is making you feel this? What did you do? What were you doing last week because
yes.
of this? Right, and being now looking back, it's like, I'm sure there was a lot of misdiagnosis, a lot of pharmaceuticals that, you know, I ingested that I may not have had. But
right.
again, it's just a matter of a little bit of knowledge. Right?
A little bit of knowledge.
And that's what this podcast is about. Give you a little knowledge to make you say, hey, yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah. And here's the thing is we all have access, right, to
yes.
a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to spend your time with this information looking at? We can choose to look at things that are negative and maybe,
yes.
you know, put us in a
yep.
not so great mood first thing in the morning. Or do we find some curiosity and say, you know, maybe I should maybe get my hormonal levels looked at? Or what are hormones? What do they mean in our body? What are their qualities? Why
mm-hmm.
why is this important to me? What is menopause? What is perimenopause? What are T4 cells, white blood cells,
yeah.
autoimmune diseases? So all of these things, as I'm, you know, sharing with folks that are listening, maybe that's where your journey started, because that's where mine usually starts too, is, well, I've never heard of this word, or I've never heard of perimenopause before. What does that even mean?
Make a good point, though, of that little tool in your hands. Like, instead of scrolling, doom scrolling all the time, use it as a tool for information. Because
mm-hmm.
before, you wouldn't, who would you ask before?
Mm-hmm.
If you had a question about yourself, you'd have to ask a doctor.
After
right?
a doctor,
or,
yeah.
or a good friend or somebody you'd think would know the answer.
Yes.
But now it's like you just ask your phone, then it gives you more options to follow, right? And I just realize that it's a totally different world now.
Yeah.
Totally different.
And we should be using it to our advantage, right?
And even if you don't have access to a cell phone, is it 411 in Saskatchewan? Is that the number you can call?
811 for medical.
For medical, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's many options out there. We don't have to think about it anymore. We can ask questions. There's many ways of finding those answers.
Absolutely. That's so true. Thank you for sharing that, Will. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to be talking about today is why 80% of autoimmune diseases are occurring in women. And of course, I am a woman. I have children. I'm at, I guess, that age where some of these things are going to, my changes are going to start happening. And I had always kind of thought that I wouldn't have to worry about this until I'm in my 50s. And now that I'm kind of, I guess, rather than ignoring it and turning a blind eye and say, I don't have to worry about that for another 10, 15 years, so I'm just going to kind of let that stay in my blind spot, I thought, well, I'm going to be curious about it and at least be aware. For me, I guess I'm always kind of embracing if there's things and topics that are coming to me, and if I'm hearing a lot of similarities within the people that I'm working with, to me, it's a recognition that I need to understand this more and you know, bring some knowledge and bring some awareness. And, you know, the podcast here is about educating people, right? And for them to look and search and find some of their more of the answers that they might need from the people that are in their lives, right? Medical professionals, maybe they have access to a psychiatrist. Maybe it's just within their friends and family and having these types of topics and conversations, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of taking away all of the clouding and not looking at it and just empowering people to just stay a little bit curious. Because in this podcast and in the other podcasts that I share with people, I'm always promoting empowerment and giving you tools to help yourself. So it's not about me saying, here's a bunch of things and here's the doom about it, and be very afraid because we can't do nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like, actually, no, our bodies are here to help us, right? And if we give them the things that it needs, and if we practice the things that we should be doing, but we've gone away from, and we as Indigenous inherently know to be true, you know, it's going to help us a long way in achieving optimal health, right?
Yeah. I think that's like we mentioned the last podcast of the superpowers, you know, things we thought were holding us back, but in fact, it is a superpower. And the fact being Indigenous, you know, if you look at it, our people weren't not allowed, I guess they didn't access to all this medical stuff, mm-hmm. right? We had mm-hmm. to get in line and really ask specific questions.
For sure.
But again, being Indigenous, I think we got our leg up is that we have that already connection, mm-hmm. right? And if somebody's lost it or they rekindled, but mm-hmm. I know that connection with me was always there, and it was always the strength in the back.
Absolutely.
Right? Even if it was just me. Just myself and my mind and the 10,000 things going on. I always had that in the back, that belief, that belief system, I guess, mm-hmm. you will. And now that I'm on my journey a little farther, I'm looking back, and I don't want to say I'm taking pity on others, but I can understand how difficult it is because they don't have that connection with nature, right? That strength that we as Indigenous people should and will always be able to get source.
Yes. Right. Well, I think about that Avatar, that movie Avatar, right?
Okay.
And they go and they take their braid and they connect it to the flying tree. Dragon or the tree or whatever it might be, right? And it's like that mm-hmm. connection, and they get, you know, that just that feeling of, I guess, unconditional acceptance and love, right?
Exactly. It's mm-hmm. like two Indigenous guys who never met before, they do the nod.
Hey. Yeah.
Right? Hey, hey, brother. Hey, right? It's simple. And it's sister, two females will hug, even mm-hmm. though they don't know each other.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. That's a bond that's immediate. It's always there.
Absolutely.
Right? And as Indigenous people, it's we got to cherish that. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think in my case, anyway, I lost that in my journey in the Western world.
Oh, for sure.
In my journey, in my career, and the materialistic things, mm-hmm. I lost that. And then, you know, I came to a point where I was like, and then it's like, oh, slowly working my way back again. So that's where I'm coming from, from my life. And we'll have our own personal journeys. And today, again, we're talking about everybody. I shouldn't say this. I shouldn't say every woman. There's a certain time because this what we're talking about can hit at any time.
It can. So autoimmune diseases. Maybe I'll just talk a little bit about what an autoimmune disease is. So the autoimmune diseases are a big category of illnesses that occur when the body's immune system, which normally protects against harmful invaders like bacteria and viruses, mistakenly attacks its own healthy cells and tissues. So the immune system malfunction can lead to things like inflammation, tissue damage, and a wide range of symptoms depending on the specific autoimmune diseases. So I want to pick apart just this because it's going to be the premise of the things that we're going to be talking about. So the autoimmune disease and the immune system, is meant to be there to protect against harmful invaders. So if you're thinking about your immune system, it's your protection in the most basic form, and it protects you against viruses. Okay. So if you take that to another level, when we're talking about, let's just say, just protecting ourselves in general, like from the outside, like our environment that we're in, our homes that we're in, okay, and how are they being protected or not protected? So whatever's kind of happening in the environment on the outside world is going to be reflected in the inside world, is kind of what I'm sharing in the premise of this video podcast today.
By the way, this is our first video podcast. Yes.
Yay. I hope everybody enjoys it. And now I can share things and you guys can actually see what I'm talking about. So, and of course we as Indigenous people would have known that already, that what's happening on the outside is reflected on the inside and vice versa, the reciprocation. Right. But Western science and mainstream, they're not even at that level yet. I mean, they're just starting to kind of scratch the surface of the things that we've already known to be true within ourselves, but we've just kind of forgotten. So, you know, during these times, I'm sure there's going to be so many light bulb moments as, you know, they happen mm-hmm. for you. It's like, it's kind of like, yeah, duh, of course we knew that. Right. But we've been taught to not believe in ourselves and not to believe in our intuition and into our bodies. And of course, that's reiterated just with mainstream society in general, right? And then I think about the immune system now malfunctions and says, okay, now we're going to take, it's confused. So it's going to take attack against healthy tissues because it doesn't understand the difference between what's healthy and what's not healthy. What is an invader and what's not an invader? And again, I'm just really, guess even me, I have light bulb moments. It's like, yeah, of course, if in my home and in my space, I'm not sure who's a friend and who's a foe, mm-hmm. how could I on a cellular level understand who's a friend and who's a foe? Okay, I'm making it very simple. That's going to be get more complicated, but I want to start it with the most simplest of formats. And the reason why is when we're talking about, let's say, healing, or how do we encourage folks to start their journey of healing, or why it's important. You know, sometimes I'm interacting with people and they say they're a little bit resistant, right? They're like, I'm not ready to talk about this yet. And I respect that.
Yeah.
At the same time, you are already dealing with it and your body's already dealing with it. Are you aware of how it's dealing with it? And so sometimes it comes out in these ways. So the body doesn't stay stagnant. It's always moving. We're always regrowing cells and regrowing neural pathways and things like that. So kind of getting in tune with that and getting on the same track, you know, your body is there to help you. And so once you start communicating in that way, it's like your body has the ability to do some of the healing work. We just haven't been giving it that direction, or it hasn't felt safe enough to do that yet.
Maybe that's
it. And it's
it,
been
yeah.
confused.
Yeah. That really makes sense, doesn't it? Wow.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. right? And again, we know these things already. What's happening on the inside and the outside, it's a mirror, I suppose. Yeah. The exact causes of autoimmune diseases are often complex and multifactorial, but some key factors are believed to contribute. So some of the causes of autoimmune diseases are genetic. So a person's genetic predisposition can play a significant role in their susceptibility to developing an autoimmune disease. Certain genes may make individuals more prone to immune system dysregulation. Environmental triggers such as infections, toxins, or certain medications may trigger the onset of an autoimmune disease in individuals who are already genetically predisposed, and these triggers can activate the immune system in a way that leads to self-attack. Hormone imbalances, particularly in women, as I kind of mentioned, this whole podcast was kind of developed with women and women's health in mind, have been linked to an increased risk of autoimmune diseases. And this might explain why some autoimmune diseases are more prevalent in women than men. And then the gut microbiome. So the gut microbiome, the community of microorganisms living in the digestive tract, plays a crucial role in the immune system development and regulation. Disruptions, in the gut microbiome, such as dysbiosis, may contribute to the development of autoimmune diseases. So it's important to note that the specific triggers and causes may vary depending on the particular autoimmune disease. So I think about some of the things that we already kind of know and maybe might be well versed in terms of like type 2 diabetes or type 1 diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, things that cause inflammation. Those are all, if you think about the root cause of what is causing your body to react in such a way, that might give you some insight into maybe what's going on in your environment and the world around you, both, you know, inside your body and outside. So this is not just for women, but this is for everybody, I guess, who might be struggling with some autoimmune diseases. And I think about the gut microbiome, and I believe I've talked about this before. If I haven't, maybe this is another a podcast. But basically, the food that we eat, right, and the microorganisms that are in that food are going to contribute to what's going on in our brain. And I don't know if anybody knew that, but before, Western science believed that the brain was like a sterile environment. Like it was just free from everything. Like it was kind of like in a, in a petri dish
by itself.
Yeah,
running things. Okay,
and that's not true. There's microbiomes in the brain, and so there's a connection between the microbiomes that are in the gut and in the brain. And I thought that was so interesting. And of course, I had watched another TikTok that connected some dots. And I also like to thank my ADHD for also connecting all these intense dots all over the world.
I just imagine your wall with all these strings attached to one to another. It's like, aha, there we go.
Yeah, that's my brain right now. People ask me to do mind map. And I'm like, I don't think there's a mind map big enough that can house all of this.
If people don't realize that, then I think that's something that you really have to think about, that what you put into your body, it really affects how your body reacts.
Mm-hmm.
And not just a negative positive, but just the way it breaks it down and what it uses and what it doesn't use. Right? If you put stuff in your body that your body doesn't use, then it's just going through all that for nothing.
Absolutely. Right?
And, and again, through my journey, I found what works for me. And I found that I'd always have a sour stomach. But then once I found out why, mm-hmm. then that was just one less thing I had to worry about.
So true.
Right?
And so when that saying, somebody else's sandwich tastes better than when you make it, right?
Okay.
Have you ever heard that one?
Not really. No?
Okay. No. Just me and my really hungry friends, I guess.
I can see you pull a lot of lessons out of that. But yeah. Okay.
So basically, it's that when somebody makes you a sandwich for you, let's just say it's a pure bologna and mustard, you know, sandwich on a piece of bannock, right? When you make it, you're like, okay, this is a sandwich. It tastes pretty good. I enjoy it. I feel full. But when somebody else makes it for you and they give it to you because they love you, or even feast food as an example.
I was gonna say that. Okay.
Right? Yeah. When we have feast food, it's like, oh my gosh, this is the best soup ever. It's because all of those love, prayers, and good intentions went into that food, and we can feel it, you know, and somebody serving it to you in the community, right? Like, you're full and feeling good on such a big level, right? Whereas compared to if you made maybe your hamburger and macaroni soup at home, you're kind of like, it's good, but it's, you know, you can sense the difference, okay?
True, okay.
So now I'll connect to what I had seen on TikTok. They were talking about kimchi and just basically how, because of agricultural practices, right? And how, you know, all of the things that those Roundup and that has gone into our food. Mm-hmm. And of course, if the bugs don't want to eat the food, how much, you know, sustenance and nutrition does it have for us to be eating, right? And so there's research that they're doing about how it's affected our gut and our microbiome that way, because we don't have enough of those things going on, right? So this lady who has a 100-year-old kimchi brine from her great-great-grandmother. And so it's the same, I guess, vinegar and seasonings for 100 years, right? Wow. And she's still putting her kimchi, her cabbage into that. And she did use her bare hands, which I mean, I'm with it, but I also kind of got a little bit freaked out, freaked out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I thought, you know what? I'm going to respect them as well and their teachings, because I wouldn't want somebody, you know, putting a little petri dish and microscope under our stuff. So I thought, okay, that's how they do it over there.
Let's not think too deep into that one.
Yeah.
But I got to understand the tradition. Yeah.
The tradition of it, right? Yeah. And so her grandmother's hands were literally in that brine, putting that together. And so how much of a connection to her ancestral knowledge and DNA, if it's transmitted through the gut and the microbiome up into the brain. Like, are you kind of seeing how intense I'm putting this down here, right?
Because even if you think of it on a deeper level, like, her ancestors will be talking while they're making this brine, and those feelings would be infused in that over and over and over. And then she'd digest it. Like, that's literally taking her past, definitely.
Isn't that interesting? Wow. It's powerful. So I thought, wow, okay. And so in what ways are we, as Indigenous people, doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when I'm thinking, and the reason why this is important is, what are we truly ingesting and eating? And it's not good, right? It's not good. Our food systems have been just totally demolished in so many ways. And I know that there's a lot of people and a lot of work going into rebuilding that. And I guess sometimes I think we might not understand the severity of why, like, just how important it is. And it is on that cellular DNA level of getting connected, reconnected back to our ancestral knowledge through our food systems, like even just for the health of our own bodies and our own brains on an individualistic, I guess, level I'm talking about. But in terms of our autoimmune diseases that are prevalent in women, this is one of the contributing factors is if we're drinking things like pop, and I'm a big Pepsi drinker, so I'm taking...
I'm Diet Coke over here.
So. Yes. I'm looking, I'm totally not judging.
Yeah.
It's about just that, wow, what have I been putting into my body? And I even said, you know, fried bologna and bannock. I mean, I love that stuff too, but that does cause a lot of inflammation. I mean, what in that whole little grouping of food items there is actually good for my body? And we probably know that like things that are heavily greasy and oily, they do cause inflammation. Our bodies actually don't want it. And so if we're telling our body, this is what we're nutritionalizing ourselves with, this is what we're eating, our temple here, please take all of this toxin. Mm-hmm. And we're the one that's doing it. Our body's like, well, I guess I'm under attack, right?
Okay.
And so that's where we get those T4 cells the invasion, I guess they say. It's like our bodies are at war with itself because it can't tell what is good and what is bad, especially if we're taking in things that are bad and thinking that it's good.
Yeah, no doubt, for sure. And again, this just doesn't happen. This is over time, right? This is not generations, but like this is decades of you feeding your body the wrong stuff, and now this is the result.
Exactly.
Now, there's a way of slowing it down. There's a way to pinpoint it. It's not too late. Don't worry.
No.
You know, the sooner you come to realize, the better. Mm-hmm. But there are ways of turning your body around.
Yeah. And that's exactly it is the reason why I'm sharing this is that a lot of these environmental, is what they call them, environmental factors can actually really reverse, turn around, lessen the effects of the autoimmune diseases that we have and that a lot of women and men are suffering with. And so a lot of the research I do want to highlight as well is a lot of the research is first and foremost in the scientific area done by men for men. So that's a big red flag. Well, not a big red flag, concern. But something to concern and consider yourself, Stu, right? The second thing is that in terms of research, indigenous people aren't, you know, they're not maybe a big subset of the research, right? So when I think about research, I'm like, well, this is probably in terms of how it impacts us, it's probably just a small scratch on the surface, right? Of things that should be addressed and looking at it from the bigger picture. So I always kind of want to mention that to people is the things that I'm sharing are just on the surface. And of course, to stay curious and be empowered of your own traditional knowledge and where you come from and who you are and to not let somebody, you know, take that away from you.
Yeah.
And don't always put it just in the hands of Western science and mainstream science because they don't even know what they're talking about.
That's true. And don't be afraid to ask a question.
And if something's like,
I don't know about that, explain.
Please.
Because I know I was, like I said, when I used to go to the doctors when I was a kid, it's like, okay, all right, you're a doctor, I guess you know, right?
We do.
Not asking any questions. It's like, yep, nope, bang. So
I'll give a little story. And
okay.
My dad had recently had a head injury happen. And so he had a cut on his brain. And my dad has type 2 diabetes. And so he has to take medication and watch his sugars and things like that. Now, because of his head injury, he kept forgetting, number one, to take his medication. Number two, remembering how much pop he actually drank in a day.
Oh.
So he was in really not good shape.
Okay.
So we had went to the hospital because I could sense he was declining a bit. And I'm like, well, Dad, like you're not really able to formulate sentences. Like it went from the sentences that he's saying aren't making sense to now a word is just a bunch of letters mixed together. And I'm like, okay, we need to go back to the hospital. So we go to the hospital here and at the general, I believe, or the pathway, I can't remember. And they basically said, well, what's his blood sugar at? And I was kind of, the nurse did, the triage nurse. And I was like, well, what the heck does that have to do with anything? He's got a head injury. And she's like, well, he has diabetes, correct? I'm like, yes. So she had said, holy smokes, he's at a 31.
Oh my.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't make sense.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So 31, they admitted him into the hospital and they start, you know, doing the liquid IV. And the doctor had come in, you know, after a certain amount of time of him kind of getting better. And my dad is thinking it's the head injury, right? And so when he first came in, I had to do the talking because my dad couldn't formulate words and he was stuttering and things like that. By the time the doctor came in, you know, my dad had a couple bags of fluid in him, metformin and all those things. So he started to be able to kind of talk, right? And so I'm putting two and two together. I'm like, it's your sugar. It is clearly your sugar that has caused you to have this much of a problem. My dad's thinking it's the injury. It's the head injury, right? Anyway, so because my dad loves sugar and he wants to probably keep having his Slurpees and things like that.
Okay, yeah.
But truly, it was clearly the combination of both things happening, right?
Yeah.
So we talked to the doctor and they say, yes, it's the head injury for sure, right? That is like the pre-injury to the problem. But yes, the sugar caused inflammation on the brain. And the brain is now damaged in a certain area, which is causing him to not be able to communicate and speak sentences clearly. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, so doc, does that mean that he's got to cut down his sugar, you know, in like the most clear, simplest way? And it was hard for him to say that, you know, he's like, well, yeah. I'm like, no, you need to say it like as clear as day to my dad, because he's going to try to go home right now and get another Slurpee.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, no, man, you need to cut down your sugar. You know, but a lot of, you know, a lot of healthcare practitioners, I find and I sense that even saying something as simple as that is very difficult. And I'm not sure why I haven't asked anybody yet, you know, with all the medical practitioners that I work with, like, why don't you just say the thing that needs to happen? Is it judgment? Is it what? I'm not sure why something so obvious can be so difficult for them to say. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have some ethical responsibility. I don't know.
Almost like in the case of your dad, like he wouldn't listen to you.
That's right.
But if a doctor said it, oh, well, geez, it's true.
Then it's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think even the younger generations, just the opposite. Mm-hmm. They will really question that doctor, if you even get them to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, I think the next generation is taking that phone and making use of it and going on WebMD and checking their symptoms and not really getting a good diagnosis or finding out that, oh my God, I have cancer. No, it's not cancer. It's something else.
Right.
But again, saying that in itself is a good thing, because they are asking questions.
That's right.
They are asking questions about it. Right?
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, I get questioned about, you know, what my experiences are and what, you know, what my degree is and things like that, and what education, and that's okay. You know, I think it's a good thing to ask some questions. We've gotten so used to not asking questions, right?
Yeah.
Especially in the healthcare field. It's just, we'll just take it what he says. If you don't understand what it is that's going on with your body, you need to ask a few more questions.
It's almost like if you don't understand, then your body doesn't understand either.
Exactly.
And that's almost where I am right now. Like if I question a medication I'm taking, then my body's also going to be questioning it. But if I say, oh, yes, medication is good, then my body will go, oh, yeah, well, it's good for you.
Exactly.
Right? That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess relationship with my will, as you say. It's been a long, long, hard journey. But again, again, respect everybody on their personal healing journey. Mm-hmm. And as well, we say during the show, no matter where you are, if our questions or if our conversations trigger a question, Christy, where can we get a hold of you?
Yeah, so if you have any questions about things that we've shared, if you're maybe feeling triggered by some of the things that we've shared, please just send me a text, 306-526-6947. I'm usually in session or on a podcast or something, so I don't often have the time to answer the phone, but a text I can get back to very easily. And you
travel a lot. You always have a lot of highway miles, don't you?
I am, yeah. Because as much as I love sharing, I'm always enjoying learning and practicing and putting these things into place for myself, right?
Okay, so we're going to take a couple of minutes just to get kind of dry in the studio today. So we'll return in just a few minutes.
Thank you.
And we are back once again, this podcast in recognition of International Women's Day, as we say. Welcome back once again.
Yes, thank you so much.
Now, we're talking autoimmune disease and how they creep in on you.
Yes, autoimmune diseases are, of course, very prevalent in our communities, specifically in women. And the reason why I'm sharing about this today and kind of, I guess, sparking interest conversation in our women is that we know that women take care our caretakers. We carry many roles in our families, in our communities. And oftentimes, you know, we are really left with that emotional nurturing, right? Of not just ourselves, but, you know, the younger generations that we're teaching and taking care of. A lot of women in my family are not just taking care of themselves, they're taking care of their sister's kids or their brother's kids. They're taking care of the grandparents. And I guess the reason why this is important is that at the age that I'm at even, right? So I kind of figured, you know, I had my younger days, I had my fun, then I had my kid and she's going to be 10 soon enough. And then I was like, okay, then she's going to go into teenage years and then I'm going to get my freedom back again, right? That's what I was thinking was going to happen.
That was the plan?
That was the plan. That's right. And now I'm like, wait, no, that's not, right? And kind of another, we call them light bulb moments, but sometimes I'll just straight up say, duh, like, of course, this is not how life works. There's going to be something else that's going to be coming. So if I'm waiting for this time to find the rest, recovery, the time to repair myself, the time to look within myself, I'm never going to get there. So I have to take that moment now and take that time now while I'm still able to, and others too. Like, don't wait for the time. It's not, the time is now. That's all we have control over is in the present moment, right? So again, that empowerment of, well, I can't control what happened yesterday, can't control what's going to happen tomorrow, but what can I do for myself right now? Can I grab a glass of water for myself right now?
Yeah.
Can I do a couple breathing techniques for myself
not
right now?
When you get home tonight. Or not when you wake up tomorrow morning, or not when the kids are in bed, mm-hmm. right? There's someone, I'm saying this because I've said that to myself so many times. Well, tonight, after I get this done, or after supper, it's like, no, do it right now. Mm-hmm. It's perfect time. And a lot of the stuff is just, it'll just take a couple minutes.
Yeah. And I guess that's the other thing is like when I'm reflecting about what can I give and share to folks, right? Because I understand we're busy people.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody has that time to, you know, and I always hear that too with the people that are also in the helping field. Well, I don't have time for self-care and I don't have time to go for a pedicure or I don't have the money. I get that. I don't have the money for food, right? For healthy food is another thing that I was considering.
I was just going to mention that as well. Yeah.
In the development of this podcast, but at the same time, we don't have the ability to sacrifice ourselves anymore, right? We don't have the ability to, we don't have enough of ourselves to be, I guess, putting ourselves through these difficult times, punishing ourselves. We don't have the affordability to punish our bodies any more than they already have been. We can't afford that. That's what we can't afford anymore. You know, our kids need us. Our grandkids need us. We need us, you know, and I think about, you know, that people are passing and it's so heartbreaking when you realize like, you know, I wish I would have spent a little bit more time, but you know, we're all in our own stuff. I hear that all the time. I'm in my own stuff already. Well, you know, how do we change that? How do we change that? And how do we be in our own stuff, but actually be working towards something positive instead of just being in our own stuff? What tools can we share? What things can we do for ourselves? Because we're in our own stuff anyway.
Yeah.
That's not going to change.
That's right. It's going to happen anyway.
It's going to happen.
We're going to go in our own directions. Like even for this 1 hour, we're together and we're discussing ideas and people are listening. But in an hour's time, we're both going to go in our own direction.
That's right.
Right? You take what you can and you apply it when you can.
And you apply it when you can.
And there are times like with me, there's a flash of bolt of lightning. It's like, okay, you need to do something, right? And other times there's a subtle thing,
right?
Yeah. And you have to be, I guess, not cognizant. You have to be ready. You have to be listening to a certain extent. You can't keep going 100 miles per hour because sooner or later you're gonna break down, right? So you have to, what I'm saying is you have to take a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen all at once, but the moment you take one little second and think about yourself and how you can better yourself, then that in itself is empowering, and it's in a step in the right direction. Because that couple of seconds you take just to think about it gives you a breather from whatever it is out there that you think or may not be affecting your life, right? Because there's so many things. So many negative things out there.
Absolutely. We're just inundated, right?
Yes.
And that stress. Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about what are the four characteristics that Dr. Gaber Mate highlighted for growing environmental triggers in women and how they interface with autoimmune diseases. So these are the four characteristics that he highlighted that he noticed because he's a medical doctor and what that means for women. And it was just, you know, I'm smiling now when I say this, but I was like, okay, Christy, this is you right here. And I'm 38 now. So I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful that I'm in this space of being open to understanding myself better, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I guess I got to thank Creator. I got to thank Mother Earth for just this openness and this willingness to accept the information that's coming to me. And then, of course, feeling the need to share and share it with others, okay? So environmental triggers that happen primarily in women are, and these are the characteristics. So if you're thinking about yourself in this, I understand. I was there too. So number one would be that women tend to put others' emotional needs ahead of their own. Okay. So that's me, right? Like I'm not going to do this because I'm worried about how this person might think or might feel, right? And so we're suppressing our own emotions. And I've talked about this before, right? So the suppression of our emotions can contribute. They go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about the energy that's expressed as an example with grief, I'll say, because that's a big one, how much energy comes out and you can see it, you can feel it. It's palpable. It's a palpable feeling. Mm-hmm. Where does that energy go if we're suppressing it? It goes downwards and in somewhere, and an organ, our chest, our heart, our lungs, our hips, something is carrying that suppression of that emotion. So if you could recognize how maybe anger is expressed out into the world, and when it doesn't go out and you suppress it and it holds it in, that's like a big punch potentially, right? That we're doing to ourselves by suppressing emotions and putting others' needs first. Another one is they identify with role and responsibility. Again, I think about matriarchs and aunties and the women's system. You know, we're very, very strong, right? And I've had, you know, many different teachings about how do we keep our families intact and what are the things. And so that's why we always have, you know, grandmothers and kokums, you know, taking care of their grandkids and chapons and things like that. And how we don't even think about what are we sacrificing. It doesn't even enter our minds.
That's right.
It's just like that. Natural. A snap of a hand. Mm-hmm. Yes, that child's coming to live with me. They're not going anywhere else. So we don't even consider that. And I'm not saying that we need to change that. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is these are the characteristics that women tend to have, which can contribute to increased stress and just hardship on the body, really.
It's almost like making sure that the kids have enough food, but not making sure that you have enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or not making sure that you eat as well.
Yeah.
Right? That's along the same lines.
It is.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, right. That's exactly it.
I'm with you. All right.
They tend to be very nice, very nice, and repressing healthy anger. I like this too because there are parts of anger that are healthy, and I think a lot of people, and I get that. Like, you know, you want to speak in a good way and be kind, and I'm totally with that. I mean, I am with that. I'm probably nice to a fault, but anger. Or I guess even just that emotion of feeling something that's something other than maybe sadness or happiness, that anger is your system of a boundary that's come up, right? Like when you're upset about something, you know, just being curious, why am I angry about this? And if it's something that you feel comfortable enough saying, hey, you know, you forgot to put the toilet seat down. Can you please put it down? That's okay to say to somebody, right? Or I don't like it when you swear. I don't like it when you use foul language. It triggers me. Can you please stop swearing? Right? Things like that. It's okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And number four is they believe they are responsible for how others feel, and they must never disappoint anybody. And the reason why these characteristics are important to highlight is these are the drivers, I will say, behind the levels of energy that women rely upon to do all of the things that they do in the world. You add in now that, a lot of women have taken on this Western idea of masculinity, and we're also the breadwinners, you know, within our family systems. And then we're not, you know, having that at-home teaching, sharing and giving to our kids in that way. So it feels kind of like, how could I explain it? It just feels like you can't do anything right, really. You know, I can't provide for my family, and I also don't have the time or the patience or the energy to teach, you know, my kids the things I'm supposed to be teaching them, like how to be a good person or how to show kindness and love or how to do the dishes and clean. And that's for, you know, boys and girls all across, right? And I suppose for men, it's probably there's a lot of these similar feelings, right? But we just don't talk about them. We just keep putting on that brave face and continue forward. But these are important things for us to kind of stop and take a moment and say, what is it that I'm actually doing here and accomplishing? And what is it that I actually want for myself and my kids, right? So that we're not passing these traits on. Mm-hmm. So stress primarily undermines the immune system the most. I think about when people are like, you know, you're not feeling good and you know it's coming on because you've been working too much and you've been putting in 12-hour days and you're like, I'm going to get sick. I can feel it. That's your body's system saying, hey, man, slow down. Or hey, woman, slow down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have something good. And then we don't eat well. You know, right. We're eating the carbs and the sugars to keep us going. So I've learned this. I can't remember when. I think I was in university. I learned this because I knew that if I got sick, I'm not going to be able to do my schoolwork, and I'm not going to be able to stay home, and I'm also not going to be able to go to work because I went to school and work at the same time when I was doing my degree, and I had my daughter and my nephew, and I didn't have a lot of family support at that time. So it was like, if I fall down, everything's crashing down around me. So right. I need to keep myself strong. So anytime I would feel any sense of like sniffle or like sore throat or anything like that, I'd go to the store and I would buy all of the ingredients to make a big pot of chicken soup. And I would buy some Gatorade and some fruits. And I would just start taking that as much as possible, right? And so that was a way for me to kind of give my body, I guess, what it needed. And I didn't know that at the time. I just knew I needed to eat for a few days.
Sure. Yeah.
And have something nutritious, right? That felt good, rather than probably just starving and staying in my bed or taking medications, like over-the-counter medications, right?
Yeah.
To keep us going.
And then waiting for them to kick in.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other thing I want to maybe talk about is that there's something called an ACE score. And if you don't know what an ACE score is, it's basically called the Adverse Childhood Experiences Score. Anybody, I think, in the educational arena, of course, those I think that have gone through some sort of social work or those in early childhood education types of fields, they might understand what an ACE score is. But this ACE score is very important, I guess I'll say. So it stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences, and it's a score that they came up with. It's a score of about 10 items, and it was created in the 1990s for the Centers for Disease Control. So back in the 1990s, you know, they were already making the connections between adverse childhood effects and diseases, prevalent diseases in people. Right. Of course, you know, you bring it to our neck of the woods as Indigenous people. And I'm not sure how many people of Indigenous, descent were a part of these research studies. OK, but basically the adverse childhood experiences score is things that, you know, the 10 questions, you know, was a family member ever incarcerated? Did you ever have to go without food? Did you ever have to, be moved suddenly? Did your parents get divorced? They don't have actually residential school on that scorecard. And whenever I looked at that scorecard, I'm like, you know how many of our people would score 10 out of 10? Actually, 11 out of 10 because you don't have, you know, residential school on there. So what I'm sharing, you know, there's added things that were not quite there yet. But it was important because they were understanding how diseases, or if you did have a lot of these off scores and checked off a lot of these boxes, you're going to have an increase for non-communicable diseases, and then of course autoimmune diseases as well. So, wow. Yes,
it's again, it's kind of like it's understandable how that would affect, you know, a traumatic event or several, how that would slowly wear you down, right?
Well, it's basically a stress test.
Stressor. Yeah.
And of course, like how long, you know, and it's only for one, it's a one snapshot, right? But geez, I even think about this might have happened a few times, some of these things, right?
Yeah,
you know, so it's compounded. Mm-hmm. So I think about, what are some of the things that we can do, to help ourselves, right? And of course, I'm going to promote, talking with a counselor.
Okay. Definitely. Yes.
And maybe there's lots of counselors actually that are getting involved with things other than just talk therapy. Talk therapy is good. But of course, giving ones that have tools and things that they can help you with, right? And talking is an important part because it helps you to feel understood, right? And validated in your experiences. There's other methodologies like Gaber Mate, who I mentioned in this podcast. He created the Compassionate Inquiry, which is connecting, your emotions to those specific parts of your body and where you feel that pain or that stress or that tension. So that's something that that some therapists, I think, in Saskatchewan are getting trained on, Compassionate Inquiry. So if you're looking at the non-insured health benefits list, and there's many on there, seeing what kind of things and expertise, I guess, that they have in their toolkit, right? EMDR is another one for eye movement, rapid eye movement desensitization, which is that bilateral stimulation of the left and the right and the eyes.
I saw somebody on TikTok doing that the other day.
Did you?
She's saying, look to the left, and then look to the right, saying, we did that already. We've done that one.
Yeah. We did, yeah. So there you go. Another way for your nervous system to regulate itself, right? And then, of course, I've talked about yoga before. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about yoga again, and how it can help you to connect with your body. So if we're talking about how our immune systems and our bodies are feeling under attack, and how autoimmune diseases kind of display that attack through things like inflammation. Psoriasis was another one that I found interesting, right? So the skin, right, reacting to things.
Yeah.
And that's, again, your body's under, it's like what cells are good, what are bad, right?
Right.
So
when you say yoga, we're not saying go and buy a mat and buy an outfit. Just take the time to start.
Just to start,
that's all.
Yep, and connect. So that way,
mindful yoga.
Meditation,
mindful meditation. Mm-hmm. There's a little difference. Yeah.
Well, when you're putting your arm out this way and you're looking at it, you're all of a sudden really connecting with your hand.
Simple as that.
As simple as that. There's one that I did in yoga just a few weeks ago, and I had one hand up top here and one just kind of simply down here. And all I was doing was looking down at my hand and up at the sky. And it felt really beautiful. And I'm like, why don't I do that more? Right. Just in life, and taking a moment of looking down at the ground beneath me and up at Grandfather Sun above me, Kisei Manitou, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just connecting in that way. Oof. And then the body connects, and then all of my cells are like, yay, she's listening. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
Yeah. Whoops. Me too. I almost lost my ears here. In saying that, I've got another technique for us to try.
Okay. All right. Let me get
the little Will, background. I'd like to thank Q-Tips.
Is this podcast brought to you by?
No, yes. Just kidding. Soon, maybe. Yeah, so let's take a moment. Get grounded in our bodies. Gonna breathe in and breathe out. Okay, so I'm just going to give you a Q-tip, my friend. And I'm just going to need to take my headset off here. Okay, and all we're going to do is take a Q-tip. If you have a Q-tip at home, you want to go grab one or save this for yourself. And all we're going to do is we're just going to gently push into the second corner of my ear. Is it coming in?
This way.
Look this way?
There we go.
Yeah, okay.
Your ear there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're good.
Yeah. Okay. So we're just going to gently roll that Q-tip in a circular clockwise motion forward and then backwards. So the part of the ear is that not the top kind of top of the ear, but just on the inside of the ear. And even if you just gently push kind of inward that way towards the head, you'll be able to feel that pressure point. Even just holding that pressure point for a moment. So a lot of the stress and the tension that we carry is throughout our jaw, through our eyes, through our ears, through our jaw. If we're holding on to suppressed emotions, there's going to be a tension that builds up here. Sometimes even fluid. So sometimes we actually might not be double-chinned. We might actually have a jawline, my friend, but we just have a bunch of stress, tension, fluid build up. So it looks like, you know, we've got a double chin, but it might not be actually. And then just rolling on the other side. So just, and when you're practicing these things, and the thing I love about yoga and these other practices is, you know, it's really about being gentle with ourselves. So don't force the Q-tip into the ear and harshly move it around. Gentle, small, kind of quiet, humble circles. Yeah, just kind of rolling them up and down. It's open. How the eyes open up too. And then the other part is if your Q-tip's okay, is even just behind the ear. Like on the, can you see that? But just behind the ear here, we hold a lot of stress and tension as well. So even if your Q-tip's clean enough, just kind of massaging behind that and bringing it all the way down the neck.
Okay.
So you can use your Q-tips or you can use your hands on both sides. And so again, the things that I share are about relieving the stress and the tension. Not only that, but finding ways to oxygenate those parts of ourselves, right? That are, if our posture is closed in and tense and tight and we're doom scrolling on our phones, then, you know, that's not going to be good for our body. So finding ways to opening up the chest, opening up the neck, you know, so we can think clearly, speak clearly, and opening up our heart to new experiences as well. Thank you.
Very nice. Now, you showed me this book that you brought in, Ceremony by Brianna Wiest.
Beautiful book.
Again, one of those things where you don't judge a book by its cover. Once I opened it up, it's like, oh, wow. Inspiration, every page.
Yeah, so I picked up this book. My you know, I try to practice what I preach, you know. Mm-hmm. So sure. I was thinking, how am I going to get my daughter off the phone, and of course me off the phone as well? So I'm like, we're going to pick up books again. So this book is called Ceremony by Brianna Weiss, like you had mentioned there, Will. And I'm just going to read a quote from the book. So the book Ceremony is a collection for those on the cusp of becoming. It is a reminder that we are not meant to fit into this world perfectly, but to live in such a way that we might forge a path of all our own. It is a reminder that we are one with each other and nature itself. And it is a reminder that we hold within us the latent potential of every future possibility we can conceive of. It is a reminder that we often must release what is not ours in order to receive what is, that we are all born with a unique imprint to leave upon the world, and that self-love is not an infatuation, but a homecoming. That's the introduction. And so today's piece of poetry is about light. The light does not choose who to shine upon. It beams, it radiates, it spreads to every open space. All of the grass on the entire earth does not have to compete for the rays of sun that nourish it. There is enough for every blade, all the billions of them. And that is the lesson. If our conversations spurred some questions and you'd like to talk, you can reach me at 306-526-6947. 306-526-6947.